The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month. The opening chorus to Bach's Cantata No. 79, God the Lord is Sun and Shield. Music, of course, is a language, isn't it? And few spoke it better, more fluently, more clearly than J.S. Bach. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the messages in J.S. Bach's cantatas. Balint Karosi, a Hungarian composer and organist, will be our guest for the first half hour or so, this hour of Issues Etc. A little bit later, we continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. Jacob is wrestling with God. What in the world does that mean? I mean, there are 100 ways to get that one wrong, and I imagine the only way to get it right is to see Christ in that story in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Balint Karosi is a Hungarian composer and organist. He's minister of music at First Lutheran Church in Boston. He's first prize winner of the 2008 International J.S. Bach Competition, and he will be conducting Bach at the SEM beginning at 3 in the afternoon this Sunday, October the 20th, at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Balint, welcome to Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to be on the show.
Bach speaks that language of music beautifully, and he always has something to say. How does he go about saying it in his music and their texts?
Well, this is a very loaded question because it comes from a very 20th century perspective when we read a lot into the music, when we want the music to talk to us. Well, I'm a composer, and I know that sometimes my music conveys messages that I don't intend to. So we have to see this whole question approach this question differently. The music of G.S. Bach is so wonderful precisely because it can be approached from very many directions. And in Bach scholarship in the 20th century, which bloomed really after the 50s when the new Bach edition appeared and more sources were available to scholars to research, there are really four schools that approach Bach's music from four very distinct angles. The number one is the philological school, which occupies themselves with the music, the sources themselves, They make critical editions, comparing text, and really sticking to the sources, the music, and what is extant from Bach's own hand. And there is the theological school, who really reads the messages. That's what we are talking about. We are going to talk about more of this approach. And there is also the analytical school, that's the number three, a music theorist who wants to see why this music is so beautiful, devoid of text, devoid of any theological or religious context. This music stands by itself alone, and that's what interests the music theorist. And also there is the fourth approach. Those are the historical school. They see Bach's music as a force in Western music, and how does it emerge from our entire culture, and how did Bach became one of the most important forces in Western culture, in fact. So from this perspective, it should be very dangerous to say that Bach tried to convey some very specific message through his work in general, but there are definitely good examples where he was very aware of what he was doing, and he used very effective tools to convey a certain message in his music, and especially in his cantatas.
Did he, especially in his cantatas, was he consciously aware of the fact that the music was there for the sake of the texts themselves?
Yeah, definitely, and that is generally true in any Baroque music, that the text was primary, that the text was more important than harmony. And that comes from Claudio Monteverdi 150 years before, when he wrote that text is more important than harmony, and the music of the Baroque, the aesthetics of the Baroque music is always about how to express the text that is presented.
Well, let's hear an example of this from Cantata 79, this section, Now All Thank God. Section of the cantata Now All Thank God, cantata 79 from J.S. Bach. Balint, what should we be hearing in there?
Well, if you listen carefully, you hear the chorus. That's one musical object that is representing the words of and the melody of Rinkard's hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. But you also hear what sounds like trumpets, but those are natural horns on this wonderful recording by Masaaki Suzuki. And you also hear a drum, a percussion instrument in the background. If you remember, there's this banging in the background that accompanies this wonderful choral melody. Now, a lot of scholars have speculated what that would mean, or what is the why Bach is using a very dry effect in accompanying this melodic object, which is the chorale. And Christoph Wolff suggested that since this is a Reformation cantata, one of the purposes Bach used this kettle drum is to represent Luther's banging of the 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. John Eliot Gardiner, another great interpreter of Bach, he suggested that the first movement, which is in fact using the same musical material that you hear here in this particular chorale, namely the natural horn ritornello that precedes the chorale and comes back as the interlude between the chorale phrases. That musical material is the same for the opening chorus, and that could be interpreted as a big processional into the Wittenberg Cathedral, majestic, very broad processional, and that also has the kettle drum effect in the background.
Ballant, next we're going to hear a portion from Bach Cantata 147, Stubbornness Can Blind the Mighty. What should we be listening for before we hear it?
Okay, so in this cantata, this is a visitation cantata, and the text of this recitative, well, before I tell you about this recitative, we should be aware, maybe I'm telling you something that the listeners are already familiar with, but usually a Bach cantata consists of three main portions. Number one is the opening chorus, that is a dictum in Latin, which is a biblical statement that is directly derived from Scripture, directly refers to the Bible, the text, and that is represented in the first chorus as it is, without any commentary. And usually the opening choruses are the most majestic, the most intense pieces in the entire cantata. That is usually followed by a recitative. The recitative is sung by one person, and is telling with very little like accompaniment. And that one person is interpreting the biblical scripture to explaining what it means and how should we react to it. And the next portion is the aria. And the arias are an emotional reflection on what we should do, how should we interpret the text. And the last movement is always a chorale. That is always our human aspect and how we as a congregation should react to all of what we heard. So what we are going to hear is a recitative, and that is actually full of text paintings. One of the text paintings in this particular recitative is when the text talks about the highest arm that thrusts them from their seat. Yet this arm, even though earth's spear trembles before it, exalt the wretched. So when the words come, exalt the wretched, there's a huge descending scale in the bass line. And then this arm also lifts up. And when the words say lifting up, there's an arpeggio in the bass line from the bass towards upwards. So listen to that.
Verstockung kann gewaltige verblenden, bis sie des höchsten Arm vom Stube stößt. Doch dieser Arm ihr den Fleiß erwägt. Hingegen die Ehen, so ihr erlöst. O hochbeglückte Christen, auf! Machet euch bereit, jetzt ist die angenehme Zeit, die angenehme Zeit. Jetzt ist der Tag des Heils, der Heiland heißt euch Leib und Geist mit Glaubensgaben rüsten.
That is from Bach's Cantata 147, Stubbornness Can Blind the Mighty. We're talking about the messages in J.S. Bach's Cantatas. On this Thursday afternoon, October the 17th, Balint Karosi is our guest, a Hungarian composer and organist. He is minister of music at First Lutheran Church in Boston, and he'll be conducting Bach at the Sem beginning at 3 in the afternoon this Sunday, October the 20th, at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll be right back.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thank you.
The opening chorus to Bach Cantata 77, You Shall Love God Your Lord. We're talking about the message of J.S. Bach's cantatas. Our guest, Balint Karosi, a Hungarian composer and organist, minister of music at First Lutheran Church in Boston on this Thursday afternoon. Balint, what was the typical audience in Bach's day that would have heard works like this?
Well, Bach was in the last 27 years of his life, he was employed at the Thomas Church in Leipzig as both an employee of the church and the city. So his audience consisted mostly of Lutheran parishioners and citizens of Leipzig, and he was considered to be the most important cultural figure in the city life. So we have to imagine this, that a city such as Leipzig, a major cultural and economic center of Germany, hired J.S. Bach to make his city more reputable. And it was a very huge and important task for him. So that's why he put so much effort in doing the cantata cycles that he composed. Just the second cycle in 24 consists of 40 cantatas that he wrote in 40 weeks, and each of and every one of them are masterpieces. So his audience was really familiar with the Lutheran choral tradition. They knew the hymns well. They memorized all the verses of most important hymns. For example, the Using the Hiding and Seeing the Boat, what is in the LCMS hymnal, I think is 566 or something, these are the Holy Ten Commandments. So this audience knew the verses of this hymn, which was Luther's paraphrase of the Ten Commandments. And when Bach composed the cantata we just heard, 77, we can hear the words, the first dictum, which is the most important message, a biblical reference, is sung by the choir. The words are, "You shall love God, your Lord, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's what the chorus is singing. Now, the trumpet, what you heard, is quoting the hymn of this Heiligen Seeing Boat. That is very important because the chorus is conveying a message that is the first commandment, you shall love your God, your Lord. And the trumpet is not getting any words, but it's quoting the melody of Luther's hymn that is a paraphrase of the Ten Commandments. That symbolizes that this movement is a merge of the law, basically. That you are getting the message of the first commandment, which is the most important, but also a reference to him that everybody would recognize.
With only about a minute here before we, as we go out here, our last piece, when these audiences are hearing them, it's not the concert hall. But it is in a liturgical context, is that correct, at least originally?
Yes, yeah, so these cantatas were performed as part of the worship service on Sunday mornings that lasted about 3 hours. And the attendance of the Thomas Church was about 2,000 each morning. So the three-hour services that started at 7 a.m. in the morning and lasted until 10 a.m. And the cantatas were the Hauptmusik, the main musical offering of the day. And besides cantatas, they sang motets, sang chorales, and chants. And there was an hour-long sermon in the middle. So just imagine the scope of the cultural emergence of these works and the focus that they occupied in Leipzig's cultural life. And in the cultural life of Lutheran Germany at the time.
The final piece is the opening chorus here to one of the cantatas that you will be conducting this Sunday, number 147, Heart and Mouth and Deed and Life. Let's listen. The opening chorus to Bach Cantata number 147, Heart and Mouth and Deed and Life. Balint Carosi is our guest. Balint, when you conduct these cantatas this Sunday afternoon, with about 30 seconds here, what do you want the listener to hear? What message do you want them to take away?
Well, I would like to advise everyone who comes to these concerts to really just open their hearts to the music and let the music speak to themselves. But also it's important to kind of read the program notes and also the text of the chorales and the recitatives. So if they can do that ahead of time, they would enjoy the music much better.
Balint Carosi is a Hungarian composer and organist, minister of music at First Lutheran Church in Boston. He's the first prize winner of the 2008 International J.S. Bach Competition, and he will be conducting Bach at the SEM beginning at 3 in the afternoon this Sunday, October the 20th, at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary. Balint, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this Thursday afternoon's Issues, Etc., continuing our series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today we'll be in Genesis chapter 32, the odd story of Jacob wrestling with God. Stay tuned. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.